Our next case for argument is 22-2101, Nippon Telegraph and Telephone Corporation versus Director Vidal. Mr. Saunders, please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. There are two simple issues on appeal in this case, despite the complicated subject matter. One is a straightforward issue of claim construction. Do disclaimers in the specification of 720 patent require excluding equalizers from the construction of interference canceller?
So it's really, I'm going to stop you for a sec. So the one thing that has really baffled me and made it hard for me in this case is your entire brief is disclaimer, disclaimer, disclaimer. I get it. Do you realize you didn't use that word before the board? The word disclaimer doesn't appear in any of your briefing before the board. Now, you do at one page state that because you said equalizers are not part of the present invention, they should be excluded from the claim construction, and you cite the Verizon case, which happens to be a disclaimer case, but you literally didn't use the word disclaimer in your brief anywhere. You use it like 1,000 times here. And one of your complaints was that the board didn't take seriously and address your argument about disclaimer. I find that criticism hollow because you didn't use the word in your briefing to the board. So I don't know what to do with that. I mean, I'm not going to say you waived the issue entirely because you stated that that sentence should impact and limit your claim construction, and you cited a disclaimer case for it, but it was a little hard for me. This case I found to be difficult, and I understand to some extent why the board struggled with it.
I appreciate that, Your Honor. As you pointed out, I mean, we did cite the relevant case law disclaimer. We didn't use those magic words. Obviously, a lot of the record below focused on arguments that we're not pursuing on appeal, which I think is a lot of the confusion, probably, and a lot of why the board ultimately spent much more of their reasoning.
What issue are you not pursuing on appeal?
What was that?
What issue are you not pursuing on appeal?
Well, the primary issue is under the quote-unquote district court's construction, which is also the construction that was adopted by the board in the preliminary, or the decision institution, and the board ultimately said it's a correct construction. We're not raising the issue of invalidity under that construction.
Which?
The construction that the board adopted.
Aren't you arguing that there should be a negative limitation in the claim?
Correct. That is the construction.
As a matter of claim construction, there should be a negative limitation, which in essence says interference canceller cannot be an
equalizer.
That's correct, yeah. So before the board, we argued both, you know, the claim construction argument, but then even if we lost on claim construction, we'd still win as a matter of fact. And that's the part, the matter of fact,
Let's assume for one second that I agree with you that claim column 4, line 64, creates some sort of disclaimer. It has an impact on claim construction. But what it says is, in the present invention, an OFDM method is used to realize a signal communication system for an MIMO channel without using an equalizer. So what that says is in the present invention, our whole system doesn't use an equalizer. You're asking me for a disclaimer that says this one component of our system, the canceller, shouldn't have an equalizer in it. That's not what that says. What that says is my whole system doesn't. And it makes sense that you said the whole system doesn't in column 4, because the entire prior art was about a series of antennas and a series of equalizers, which reduced the delay, the ISI delay, before it got inputted into the canceller. And so the equalizer was a separate component. Now I have a really dumb question. Are they both hardware? Is the equalizer a thing, a piece of hardware?
The answer is sometimes. I think that's sometimes.
Because like, I was trying to think, is it like a low bandpass filter? What? You know, like, you know what I mean? I was trying to understand, is this hardware or software? Because, you know, but am I right? Do you understand the prior art was antenna, equalizer, canceller. And the equalizer was reducing only one of the forms of noise, the ISI delay. You know, it wasn't touching the stabilization and other noise. But it was reducing that before it went into the canceller. Does that sound right?
That's correct. I mean, obviously, there's also that iterative process with how the output is then put back in.
Yes, and there's lots of antennas, and, you know, I mean, this is like all, right? There's multiple antennas.
Yes, that MIMO means multiple antennas.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So, so you have you've got the prior art, and the prior art has this equalizer that is a separate thing that precedes the input signal going into the canceller, And so you say, no, my system uses no equalizers. So I guess, is the disclaimer, my system uses no equalizers as components unto themselves that feed into the canceller? Or is my disclaimer, my system uses no equalizers anywhere, anyhow, no matter what?
So I guess this ties to two of the issues that the PTO made on appeal. One is kind of the textual hook issue, and one...
Don't worry about their issues. Just answer my question.
Well, I'm trying to frame the answer in the context of the arguments that we made. And you're right. In column four...
I got to get it right, whether you made the right argument.
I understand. So I would say the law of textual hook says that we're going to apply this. We're going to apply a statement about a system. We're going to find a claim. We're going to apply that claim construction, even if it's not.
I don't want to know about textual hook. What I want to know about is what is the scope of your disclaimer, not where in the claim you're going to attach it, but what is the scope that I should attribute to this language? I think this language is, in fact, a disclaimer. I agree with you on that point. I just don't know what it's a disclaimer of, precisely. And that's what I'm trying to understand for you, because I'm not sure, for example, suppose somebody else has a system like the prior art where there's an equalizer and then a canceller. If I just adopt your construction that the canceller can't have an equalizer, are you going to try to assert it against the person that's got an equalizer in advance of the canceller? They're going to say, oh, I don't have an equalizer inside my canceller. Do you understand the problem I'm having?
I understand. Yes, I understand. We do think the appropriate construction is reflected in the term interference canceller.
Well, your client's patent recognizes equalizing. If you look at column 56 in your patent says that in a circumstance, the noise amplitude is equalized. Okay? So there's some equalization going on in your patent, and as a matter of fact, that kind of equalizing at column 56 is the same kind of equalizing that exists in Raleigh, which is what you contend made Raleigh into an equalizer. If you look at JA 1893, you'll see the language that you cited to try to prove that Raleigh is an equalizer, not an interference canceller. And that language says, in Raleigh, it equalizes the strength of each resulting subchannel, which is the same as equalizing the amplitude, right?
Yes, sir. So our position on appeal is that...
What I'm trying to get at is that your claim of what it is that makes Raleigh an equalizer is something that your patent recognizes is going on inside your own patent.
I understand.
Am I correct?
I understand the point you're going to make.
Correct, yes or no?
I don't believe so. And our position is that...
Well, what's the difference between noise amplitude is equalized in your patent? This is column 56.
Our position on appeal...
What's the difference between that and equalizing the strength of resulting subchannel?
Our position on appeal
can
is...
Can you answer me the question?
The answer is no. I don't have that. I believe that's appropriate matter subject of experts. And our position is that the board never made a factual finding that under... If our construction was adopted, the board never made a factual finding that said Raleigh's ZF solution is not an equalizer. That's not a factual finding that appears in there. And in fact, they called it a ZF equalizer.
Well, they made a finding on AJ-17 that even if they determined that the proper construction precludes equalization, the particular citation to Raleigh doesn't rely on equalization.
Well, that we addressed that point, Your Honor, and that's the issue of...
What I was trying to get at is what the chief and presiding judge was asking was, well, what kind of equalization was the patent saying we don't do? And we know from the prior art what kind of equalization that was doing, and your patent says we don't need to do that. And I think what the presiding judge was asking was, does that actually mean that there is a surrender of scope for some other possible kind of equalization which is not doing what was so computer difficult driven?
I understand, Your Honor.
There's nothing computer-driven difficulty about equalizing the strength of the subtables.
The particular position we took as the scope of equalizers on Appendix 310, which we cite in our reply brief at 23. So that's the position that we took regarding what the equalizer means in this claim term as construed by our construction. But our position is that it's not a question that has to be reached because the board didn't make that finding that it's not an equalizer.
What you're trying to do here is neuter Raleigh as a reference, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. You get rid of Raleigh is what probably anticipates your claim because Raleigh seems to have the matrix and has all the makings of an interference cancer.
We're trying to distinguish the Raleigh reference. We've narrowed the number of ways that we're distinguishing it from below.
Well, first would be to claim that it is nothing but an equalizer. And that argument you really can't make because of the fact findings on the board that it actually is an interference cancer with a matrix system in the center. So in my mind, you lose the argument that Raleigh is whole lock, stock, and barrel an equalizer, like prior art equalizer. So then the question is, does Raleigh cease to be a prior art reference because it has some equalization going on in it somewhere?
Yes, that's the position that we took, was that
And then the question comes back to the presiding judge's, I think, great first question, which is, well, if there's some form of surrender of scope, if there's not a surrender of scope, you sit down and you move on. But if there is some surrender of scope, what was it? If, for example, Raleigh was nothing but a prior art equalizer, then in case you win, because clearly that would be excluded. But you have an equalizing function in Raleigh, which I pointed to, JA 1893. That's the only reference in Raleigh at all that you cite to say that it's an equalizer, correct?
Well, we also cite to the expert's characterization as the
expert. I'm talking about impact.
That's correct.
That's it. One sentence equalizes the strengths of each subchannel, and you're saying that's enough of an equalizer to neuter a reference which clearly contains your channel interrupted the matrix system, and you don't meaningfully contest the board's fact findings that Raleigh teaches an interference cancer. Right?
Well, it doesn't teach the portion of the interference. So our position is that as our construction was proposed, it had two components. The construction had a positive limitation, which is about reducing interference, and had a negative limitation, which was excluding equalizers. We're not challenging that positive aspect of
the
limitation.
That's what I'm trying to say. So it's the only question why Raleigh would fall out as a prior art reference is that it refers to equalizing the strength of each resulting subchannel.
Well, not just the fact that Raleigh refers to it, but the fact that both experts below agreed that this ZF solution was an equalizer.
Well, no, nobody's denying that Raleigh equalizes the strength of each resulting subchannel if that's an equalizing function. No one disputes that. But your own patent recognizes that your own patent does the same thing.
I'll have to say, Your Honor, that...
So you've got a little dilemma from my perspective, because how can you say something in Raleigh disqualifies it as a prior reference when it has in connection with an interference cancer when you say, we did the same thing?
If I could add to that, my understanding is your position on appeal is you can only win if you get the full scope of the full disclaimer that you're arguing for. Is that right?
Well, I would say if the court adopts any other construction, then the appropriate act would be to vacate or remand under Chenery.
At a minimum, we can't affirm if we adopt any construction other than yours.
Sorry.
If we find some disclaimer not as broad as the one you've argued for, we can't affirm.
Affirm. It would be appropriate to vacate and remand.
We can't reverse for you, right?
Similarly, you could not reverse, yes. You would have to vacate and remand if there's a third construction.
Can you tell me, what do we do with this? I mean, my problem is, I see a disclaimer in column 4. I don't know how you could conclude otherwise. The president mentioned this method doesn't include equalizers. And it does seem to me that the board didn't address that, really. So I don't know that you prevail. In fact, I'm leaning against you, to be honest, because, I mean, like if I were deciding this using the disclaimer, because I think you're trying to force the disclaimer into only one component of the method, and I think that would not at all be consistent with what you were trying to actually disclaim, which were equalizers that preceded the interference canceller. And the way you're trying to put, no, you just can't have an equalizer inside the interference capacitor, I actually think you're trying to recapture some of what you've disclaimed. But I think the disclaimer might be broad enough that it also, when it says no equalizers, it means no equalizers, full stop, anywhere, any, no matter where in the system. So it might include no equalizers inside the interference canceller. I'm not sure. You know, but it I do think that your articulation of what you think the scope of the disclaimer is wrong. But I do think there's a disclaimer. So assuming that's where I come out, what do I do with this case?
I think the answer is if the appropriate answer would be to vacate or remand. If we're not adopting NTT's construction as is, where it's in the context of an interference canceller, and we're not adopting the board's conclusion that there is no disclaimer, then the appropriate response is to vacate and remand.
We don't have a petitioner here any longer, is my understanding. So what happens on remand?
Well, I guess the board has some options. It's probably going to ask for additional briefing. And
the board can choose to proceed.
The board can choose to have
proceedings. The petitioner does not end the proceeding. Correct?
That's correct. I mean, unless there's some motion to terminate the proceeding, that's correct.
Just one more. Column 4 uses the present invention 3 prior times before we get to the line we've focused on. Is it your contention that all of that also has the effect of disclaimer, meaning I don't infringe unless I do everything in column 4?
That's not an issue that we've made a contention on, and I haven't reviewed each of those.
But logically, would you agree that has to be your position if the basis of the disclaimer is the present invention is?
Well, just one clarification. That's not the sole basis for our conclusion in support of our construction. We also point out, first of all, there's the criticism of equalizers, and so criticizing and distinguishing the prior art is another basis for the construction. We also point out that there's that difference between looking at the figures before and after. We look before in the prior art figure, we have both equalizers and interference cancellers. We look in the embodiments of the invention figures, we only have interference cancellers. So taking all of those items together, we think makes it clear that the board erred. Certainly, the present invention invokes the court's case law on that issue.
And none of the claims use the term equalizer or equalizing or anything like that, correct?
I don't believe so.
Would you at least agree it's kind of an odd way to claim what you contend is the key innovation of this patent, to do it through the definition of interference canceller, which appears nowhere in the patent?
Well, I also appreciate it. It certainly looks like it's the key, but you know, we're just focusing. We've narrowed our arguments down on appeal, so we're focusing on a clear error by the board, rather than all potential arguments. What our invention makes it novel.
I mean, so how do we know that Raleigh teaches an equalizer?
Our position is that the board did not make a factual finding that Raleigh is not an equalizer.
Well, is it possible that on remand it will be determined that Raleigh doesn't teach an equalizer at all, as the word equalizer is used in your patent?
I think that would be hard in light of the factual record, in particular the fact when, as we point out in the very opening of the petition with the petitioner's declaration, they said they called it an equalizer. Our expert was consistent in calling it an equalizer. So with both sides' experts having called it an equalizer, I think that's a hard conclusion, but obviously the board can reach its own conclusion on remand.
Well, your argument is that the reason why Raleigh is an equalizer is because of long quotation at J1893, whereas the same language appears in your patent. So it's hard for me to believe that Raleigh actually teaches an equalizer as you meant to exclude equalizers in your patent.
Well, certainly there's no factual dispute that the board had raised and addressed about what the meaning of equalizer.
The board would be open, however, to if it's told that there is here some form of disclaimer, then once it decides what the disclaimer is, it can go into Raleigh and look at Raleigh and say, is that kind of equalizer present in Raleigh?
Yeah, that is.
So to me, Raleigh, it presents an interesting case because there seems to be no doubt that Raleigh does teach the claimed interference canceler. The question is whether or not Raleigh falls away as a reference because it teaches something else.
Certainly the question is whether Raleigh is excluded because of the negative aspect of the
whether Raleigh includes the thing you said can't be there.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Sit. Way over your time. Way over. I'll restore 2 minutes of rebuttal time. Is it Amin?
That's correct.
Mr. Amin, please proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. If I might, I'd like to start with the Raleigh prior art reference, because I think it gives us something concrete to look at and to evaluate the rest of the disputes.
Did the Board make any fact findings with regard to Raleigh?
Yes, and I think the critical fact finding in terms of the dispute here, I think, is on page 17 of the Board's decision.
Page 17?
That's correct. So in the pages preceding, the Board addressed the situation where, addressed the argument under the
I'm on page 17. What's the fact finding that you're saying is critical?
So they reject NTT's argument that the disclosure in Raleigh is an equalizer.
Can you point me to the exact
sentence? Yeah.
Sure, the second full paragraph. So the second sentence in that sentence, that paragraph states, absent the construction that Patent Owner proposes, equalizers are not recited as a negative limitation. And then the Board provides an alternative finding. Even if we determined that a proper construction did preclude equalization, petitioner citation in Raleigh does not rely on equalization, but instead on Raleigh's TSP RSP multiplication. So I think in context, I think it's clear that the Board is rejecting NTT's argument that Raleigh is limited to an equalizer. So even if equalizers are read out of the claim, that Raleigh still teaches the interference cancel limitation. And I think the Board made a similar finding on page 29.
What's 29?
First full paragraph, second sentence, petitioner relies on the ZF algorithm procedure in Raleigh to cancel.
Well, look at the lead sentence.
At the very top.
Lead sentence says Raleigh is an interference counselor, and whether or not it equalizes is irrelevant.
Right. So I guess the Board provided two alternative, because there were two.
Right, the sentence that I just read to you, it seems to me, to feed into the argument that was going on earlier, which is, does Raleigh do any equalizing?
And I agree. I think the Board did consider that issue, but I think the Board separately considered the issue of whether, even if equalizers were excluded, does Raleigh teach the claim? And I think that's what the Board found in Appendix 17.
We're on page 29.
And I think on page 29, the second sentence is making that alternative finding.
That second sentence at the top of the page.
Yes. And if I might also...
That says petitioner relies on the ZF algorithm procedure in Raleigh to cancel ISI interference and does not rely on equalization. That's not the same question as whether there's an equalizer in there.
I agree with you. I guess the clearer passage then would be Appendix 17.
Which basically what's happening is that Raleigh doesn't... The equalization that Raleigh does to modulate the signal strength, which I talked about, which the patent also doesn't have anything to do with the matrix system that is producing the interruption cancellation. Right?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, I think the idea that both the patent and the prior art envision the same equalization effects, I completely agree with. And so I think that
I understand that the patent and the prior art focus on the same equalization effects, but the problem is, what do we do with this disclaimer at the bottom of column 4 that says, in the present invention, an OFDM method, for an MIMO channels without using an equalizer. It is really broad. It doesn't say the interference canceller doesn't use an equalizer, which of course it doesn't, because the prior art didn't have the equalizer contained within the interference canceller. But it also doesn't say, and I just mean an equalizer preceding the input to the interference canceller. It is much broader. It says the present invention has no equalizers in it at all, in the whole method.
Right?
Is that a fair reading of that sentence?
I think that what this sentence is conveying is a goal that the present invention is trying to achieve. And I think that...
the presiding judge has indicated her view that she thinks this probably is a disclaimer of some scope. But isn't it possible to read that language that says we do it without an equalizer, meaning we don't need to use one?
Your Honor,
we don't, we don't need to use an equalizer. That's not the same as you can't use an equalizer.
Your Honor, and that is the way I understand.
Excluding the scope says you can't use it. If it's there, it's poisonous.
Right. And so that is the way I read this, and that's the way I understand NTT's expert who testified on this passage to describe this as being a goal that they're trying to achieve as opposed to kind of limiting the invention itself. And I think that, Judge Stark, you had pointed out that the preceding three paragraphs all state the present invention is, the present invention is, the present invention is. This paragraph does not state the present invention is.
It says in the present invention there's no equalizer.
Right. And I think that, and as NTT's expert, Dr. Hernandez, explained, what that's saying is that when you use OFDM, you don't need an equalizer. And so that, and I think that's, and then the next sentence, I think.
I mean, to me, the first argument is there a disclaimer, and reasonable minds might or might not disagree with that. But one way to read it is that what this patent doesn't found a new way to do it. We don't use equalizer.
Exactly.
Not that if you did some equalizing, you can't be an interference counselor.
Exactly. I think
that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is the way the presiding judge is.
And I think the former way is the only way to look at it for two reasons. One, I think if you read that paragraph...
Well, you rely on the law that says, especially if you're reading a negative limitation into a claim, you're supposed to be pretty darn confident that that's what you're supposed to be doing, right?
Absolutely right. And I think it's also clear, based on column 41 in Molly, about line 9.
Did the board refer to this?
The board, I don't believe, I'm not sure if the board referred to this, but I think...
So if the board didn't rely on that column in Riley and make this point, can we really use it on appeal, or isn't there a Chenery problem with that?
I don't think there's a Chenery problem here, because this issue...
Do you think on appeal we can look at portions of the reference that the board didn't mention as supporting their fact findings?
Well, I think that the reason why this court can look at it is that the question wasn't really posed to the board. The board, NTT, before the board... NTT gave them two options for resolving the dispute between parties. One was a largely factual dispute, which is no longer an appeal. And the other one was this legal argument. The board chose the first one, said, we'll resolve this on the factual dispute. And the board, therefore, did not need to reach the second issue, the legal disclaimer argument. And so the reason why I think that this passage would be referred to on the first time of appeal is that this kind of legal claim construction issue wasn't really teed up before the board.
Well, they argue for a negative limitation, and the negative limitation comes from the language that the presiding judge is talking about.
Well, so I guess I would refer the court to Appendix 349.
What page?
349.
349.
349.
Okay.
And so this paragraph is explaining their position to the board. They're saying that the kind of the plain and ordinary meaning.
Where are you on 349?
As explained in section VI, they're saying the preliminary construction already excludes equalizers. So that the preliminary construction is the one that does not have the negative limitation. They're saying that does not exclude equalizers. And then they make the disclaimer argument, but the way they frame it is that, however, to the extent the board feels this exclusion could be made more explicit, it would be appropriate to do so. And then at the end, the last line, they say, although it is not necessary. So they're telling the board, you don't need to construe it this way.
Wait, but on page 347, turn back two pages, end of the page, the board begins second in bold. They have multiple arguments in the alternative here. Second, the 720 patent describes, quote, the present invention, end of quote, as providing a method of signal processing that, in bold and italics, does not require involvement of an equalizer. It is well established that the descriptions of, quote, the present invention, end of quote, can limit scope. And they cite Verizon, which is 100% a disclaimer case.
Absolutely. And this is that second argument, which they told the board, you do not need to reach.
Well,
they made that clear.
Wait, they don't want the board to reach it if the board finds in favor of them on the first argument. We have this all the time, right?
No.
I'm going to give you two alternative arguments. If you agree with me on one, you don't have to reach two. It's very appealing to us judges to have that happen.
Well, I think that this is not an argument on the alternative. They're giving the board two different options to resolve the dispute before them. They're not saying, if you find against this on A, you must consider B. They're saying, here are two different paths for following for resolving the dispute. If you find against us on either way, that resolves the dispute.
Well, okay, well, I understand the second path here because it's the one that's entirely on appeal. What's the first path that you say, which I don't think is on appeal, right?
No.
I mean, what is that first path?
This, and that's the path that the board chose, was whether or not ISI qualifies as unwanted signals or noise, which is what was part of the construction before the board.
The board expressly rejected the notion of reading a negative limitation into the claim.
That's correct, yeah.
That has to be as a matter of claim construction.
Yes. So I think the board did
I'm
touch...
I'm confused, and the other parties argued that was wrong, and then now you pointed us to something the patent owner gave to the board that said that the present invention does not require involvement of an equalizer. Does not require it. That's a whole lot different from saying the patent requires an exclusion of an equalizer.
Correct. Absolutely. And so I think that's kind of the issue that we're...
As to the nature of whether there is in column 4 a disclaimer, and if so, what it is, as opposed to whether it's simply a statement of we don't need one, this statement by the patent owner himself seems to me to say... We don't require involvement of an equalizer. Maybe there will be one, maybe there won't. We don't require it.
I absolutely agree with that. And I think that's supported both by the discussion of what they thought the problem was with equalizers on column 3, and I think it's absolutely supported by column 41, which I think states pretty clearly that the patent envisions that interference cancellors can have equalization effects.
Column 41 of the patent?
Column 41.
What is 41 in the patent?
It's Appendix 112.
Now, I'm really confused.
What's 41 on what line?
Starts at about line 9.
Line 9. Incidentally?
Yeah, that's correct. The subcarrier interference cancel 315 achieves a similar...
It's where it starts incidentally.
Oh, that's correct, yes.
Yeah, but this just says we do it a different way than signal equalization. Right?
No, it's saying that the operation of the subcarrier interference canceller has a signal equalization effect.
No, it achieves a similar effect to signal equalization. So it's saying we do it, we get to the same result in a different way.
Well, I think that the sentence that starts with that is explains what that means. That is, interference cancellation reproduces the original digital signal.
I don't know where you are.
I'm sorry, that's about line 16.
Line which?
16.
Thus,
that is the interference cancellation reproduces the original digital signal, and hence the amplitudes are always constant. That's exactly what Raleigh says when
now,
it says
equalizer. Isn't the reproducing the original signal the amplitude map language I talked to you earlier?
Yes, yeah, exactly. So, and that's exactly what Raleigh's doing.
Should say so. I mean, so what you are saying is that the patent recognizes equalization for a particular purpose, for leveling the amplitude, and that's what this is saying, and that's what the other provision I pointed to is saying, right?
Yes, absolutely. So
does that go to whether there's a disclaimer, or does that go to the fact that there's no reason to disqualify Raleigh, because all Raleigh is doing what the patent does?
I think it goes to both. I think that if we're considering the issue as to whether there's a disclaimer of the term interference canceller, I think it goes to both, because I think that if you look at this passage and the background passage, what that tells you is that
forget the term interference canceller. I know that's what he's arguing. But suppose this patent actually issued with these claims. Are you telling me this claim would read on a device that looks very similar to the prior art, maybe has slightly different limitations, not relevant to what we're discussing, but which has an equalizer that feeds an input, that reduces the ISI delay and feeds that input into an interference canceller. Are you saying that these claims, since they don't use the word equalizer, would read on a device that has that prior art combination, equalizer feeding into an interference canceller?
No, we're not saying it would read on that. How could
it not read on that? Because that limitation is not in the claim unless this is a disclaimer.
I agree with you, and that issue wasn't really litigated below, and I don't think it's really relevant to the Raleigh reference.
But Do you not believe that the thing at the bottom of column 4 is a disclaimer?
So it's not clear to me that it is a disclaimer. I think
if it's not clear to you that it's a disclaimer, it can't be, right? Because disclaimers have to be clear and unambiguous, correct?
Absolutely.
So if that's the case, if it's not clear it's a disclaimer, then this claim as issued would read on a device that actually has an equalizer that reduces ISI delay and then feeds that exact signal into an interference canceller. That's what you're asking me to conclude.
I'm not, because I think that they would have a separate argument then based on what's disparaging column 3. So I agree with you.
What?
So I think that if that were the case, then their argument would be our negative limitation is based on what's in column 3, the background section. I was just looking at what's on column 4, that sentence that you had pointed me to, Your Honor.
And you don't think the combination of what's on column 3 and what's at the bottom of column 4 create a disclaimer with regard to an equalizer feeding into an input signal for the interference canceller?
I think that column 3 can be read that way.
So you think there's a disclaimer in this case, it's just in column 3, not column 4?
So I guess what I was trying to say is that there is that at most,
you are asking me to adopt an argument that there is no limitation on the use of an equalizer in these claims.
What I'm saying is that that issue wasn't considered below. And that wasn't disputed between parties here. I think that if there's a disclaimer, that's the disclaimer. That equalizers cannot be used as the input into an interference canceller. But that wasn't the issue because that's not what Raleigh teaches. Raleigh, the only mention, as Judge Clevenger pointed out, the only mention of equalization is that one clause in column 18, which if I have a minute, I'd love to turn to it, if that's okay.
Well, you're actually beyond your time, but yes, you can turn to it.
Okay. So I think that what's critical is that two points for Raleigh. One, Raleigh teaches everything that the NTT says you need to do to obviate the need for an equalizer. And I think that when you turn to Appendix 1892 and 1893, and if you keep in mind what...
Just let me ask you, we affirm this patent is dead, is that right? Like it's gone, like there's no patent? What's the ultimate result here?
I'm not sure that all the claims were canceled, all the claims were challenged, and so I don't think that's a... But I guess I'd have to double check to make sure. I'm not sure whether all of the claims were challenged here.
While you're thinking about that, yes. Why did the petition drop out? What happened? Did they settle or something?
I believe so, yeah. Yes, not all the claims are challenged. See on Appendix 8. So the patent itself would be
dead. Do we know whether any other pending suits?
I'm not sure. I understand there were other suits in Western District of Texas. I'm not sure if all of them also got dismissed. But if I might just very briefly just touch on the Raleigh reference, because I think it resolves and renders the claim construction issues moot. Because if we keep in mind what NTT says is an equalizer, as a device designed to equalize. I think it's clear when you look at columns 16, 17, and 18 that this ZF solution is not designed to equalize at all. Column 16...
Well, no, the ZF solution is the interference controller. Yes, I understand you say it's not designed to equalize. The question is, does it contain an equalizer?
Well, I think those two are the same because on page 20...
I could say something like, this device isn't meant to, you know, build up resistance or capacitance or whatever, but that's a different question from does it actually have a capacitor in it?
Well, I agree with that, but I think that what's critical is on page 23 of the reply brief, that's how they define an equalizer. It's a device that's designed to equalize. So for this to fall into the carve-out that they're trying to establish within the claim language, it must be designed to equalize
what?
Well, yes, I think that, but also I think it's clear that this is not designed.
I mean, both the patent and Raleigh recognize that there is equalization occurring.
Right.
Of the signal stream.
And I think in their rehearing request, they acknowledge that when you're canceling interference, spatial interference, that is not equalization. That's not the equalization they're concerned about.
No, because it's a lot. It's not spatial ISI. It's a
lot,
right?
Right. Well, so, and Raleigh's concerned with spatial ISI. Spatial interference. And I think that, like, for example, if you look at column 16, lines 59 to 64, that describes what the purpose of this ZF solution is in Raleigh.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. You keep talking about all this purpose stuff, but I mean, I think of these things as things, right? There's a capacitor, there's a resistor. That's why I asked at the outset, is an equalizer a thing? Another thing.
And I think the answer to that is that it's hard to tell because all these terms are defined functionally. And so they can be met by hardware or they can be met by software. The proposal that they proposed to the district court with respect to interference canceller said explicitly said software or hardware, and or hardware. So it could be either. And
okay, we're way over our time. Do you have anything further you feel like you really need to talk about?
No, nothing. No.
Okay, thank you.
So first, I'd just like to address the argument regarding whether the board was presented with two options to resolve the dispute. That we don't believe that's a correct characterization of the arguments we're making. We're clearly making arguments in the alternative. An example of that, you know, why it was clear, the heading on Appendix 345, the intrinsic record and canons of claim construction require exclusion of equalizers. That's a very clear argument that we're making. Hey, this is a claim construction argument. And the language that counsel pointed to later on in that same section on 349 was just as Judge Moore suggested. It was, hey, if we win on this other factual dispute, which is the one that's not on appeal now, you don't need to necessarily get to this claim construction aspect. But because the board did not agree on the factual aspect, it did need to reach that. And in fact, the board did reach it. The board did understand that there was a negative, you know, limitation being met. It just didn't have a proper analysis.
Can I just direct you, though, to 347, because I have the same concern that I think Judge Clevenger raised, to the extent, and maybe you didn't have to say disclaimer to the board, but how do we read this sentence second as a disclaimer argument? It seems to be when you say the 720 patent describes the present invention as providing a method of signal processing that does not require involvement of an equalizer, that means it doesn't require an equalizer, but perhaps it may have an equalizer.
I think the most reasonable reading of the sentence is you look at the next sentence immediately after that in the same paragraph when it says, it is well established that description of this present invention can limit the claim scope and limit the size.
Would you at least say your disclaimer argument is ambiguous?
I would say it could have been more artfully drafted, and certainly I would have included the word disclaimer more. But yeah, when it says, you know.
Or at all.
Yes, Your Honor. When it says can limit claim scope, that is going beyond simply saying you don't need an equalizer.
Or sorry, we do it without. Does it mean it isn't required?
Well, that's the first sentence that Judge Stark was pointing
out. But the second sentence, which is that we do it without, doesn't undermine the fact that it isn't required.
Well, I think the most reasonable reading of that second sentence in the last full paragraph on 347, the appendix, is that we are making an argument about claim scope. We're making an argument that claim scope has been limited, which is a disclaimer.
The problem for me is I don't see your argument prevailing. Your argument is that the interference controller itself doesn't have an equalizer. That's not what was in the prior art that you were trying to avoid. What was in the prior art you were trying to avoid was a separate equalizer apart from the interference controller preceding the input to the interference controller. So I don't see how the disclaimer you've argued for on appeal comports with what I understand through columns 3 and 4, this patent was achieving an advantage over in the prior art.
Well, I think Your Honor correctly pointed out that in column 4, lines 63 through 65, we do have a disclaimer language that is not just saying, you know, using an equalizer exactly as used in this one example here. The other concept is
yes, but we have to read the patent as a whole to figure out what the clear and unmistakable disclaimer is. We can't take one sentence out of context. And all through paragraph 3, what you're talking about are the disadvantages of having a separate equalizer as a predicate before the input to the interference controller. And this entire patent makes it clear that equalizers and the interference controllers are two separate things. So, I mean, I'm just not persuaded by your desire to say this sentence should absolutely require a claim construction related to an interference controller. I mean, that's kind of what I come down to. I think there is a disclaimer in columns 3 and 4, but I don't think it's the one that you're asking for.
I guess the other point I would raise is the other language we cite to the fact that it's generally, you know, talking about equalization is related to complexity, And this is part of the focus of the improvement of the inventions related to
fence and interference. Are there other cases in the wings on this somehow?
There are no other pending matters. I'm sure matters could arise depending on the outcome of this proceeding.
Okay, thanks. I thank both counsel. The case is taken under submission.
Thank you, Your Honor.